Okay, I'm calling us back in after our brief recess. The time is 1:04 PM. Mr. Potts, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the brief recess there, the document was two-sided when I introduced it. So only one side was scanned in on accident. So my bad on that. But the second part of this bill amends 15 ONC 3109, states that attorney general opinions may only be authored by the attorney general, and then provides for an alternate effective date. So amending portions of the attorney general law, two things here. First is the setting the term to be 180 days. Second is only the attorney general may issue attorney general opinions. The reason for that, we had an instance pop up where an attorney general opinion was outsourced to another law firm. And so we were given a attorney general opinion authored by somebody who was on contract with the attorney general. That's not the same thing. So this clarifies to me in law that only the attorney general of the Osage Nation may issue the official legal opinion of the Osage Nation. So with that, happy to take any questions.
Any questions for the sponsor? Seeing none, the chair would entertain movement on the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Congressman Potts.
Make a motion to report ONC 2572 to Congress with a two-pass recommendation.
Second.
As amended. Apologies.
Second.
We got a motion made by Congressman Potts, seconded by Congressman Keene. We're in discussion now. Does that need to say as amended with the committee substitute, or just as amended? Okay. Any more discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say yes.
Yes.
Okay. ONC 2572 passes on to the floor of Congress with a due pass. Next item was ONC 2573, an act to establish a government tort claims process to the Osage Nation for the benefit of the public and to establish an alternate effective date. Congressman Potts, you are the sponsor. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. ONC 2573 establishes a governmental tort claims process. I believe this is the second or third time I've filed a bill of similar nature. Mr. Chair, I would love it if we could facilitate a brief discussion on this. There's no way that I'm comfortable sending this out the door today. Previously, when I had filed it, we'd gotten it to a point of committing to do an interim study on the topic. We ended up not getting that to realization. I don't know if this committee is interested in postponing for the purpose of doing an interim study on the topic, but it's something that I definitely think the Osage Nation needs. For those who may be unfamiliar, and Congressman Keene has also taken a look at it a little bit, a tort claims process allows an avenue for our citizens to have a voice within the Osage Nation courts in the event that they are wronged or feel that they are wronged. They would at least have standing to get something into our court system. So that's the purpose for ONC 2573. Happy to entertain some questions on it, but again, I don't see this moving out today and would much prefer to get on to ONC 2574 if the committee would prefer.
Congressman Keene.
Yeah, I agree with Congressman Potts. I'd like to see this postponed. I think further debate is warranted. I just want to kind of give some legal facts regarding this. So I think this is important, but a lot of times, you know, tribes have really vast sovereign immunity power. So basically, unless there's a remedy provided in federal law, a tribe can pretty much avoid ever having to go to court based on sovereign immunity. It even extends to even like FMLA. Technically, FMLA doesn't even apply to tribes. So, I mean, I'm talking it's that sovereign immunity banner is that strong. So, again, this is a very complex debate. I look forward to it. I think the tribe does need some strong tort law. I'd like to even get the AG in on this, executive as well. I'm good with postponing for now, but like I said, I think this is something we definitely do need to address in the future. Thank you.
Congressman Whitehorn.
As this is written, is it localized to only tribal members being able to tap into the tort claims, or would it be for anybody?
Mr. Chair, I think that question would be more aptly directed at legal counsel. My intention is citizens of the Osage Nation. I believe it also allows for employees who are subject to employment law and other things, a legal avenue. I'm okay with that, not much else. And to clarify as well to anybody listening, this is not meant to bust open the doors and allow tort claims for the Osage Nation to be erroneous or vindictive in nature. Under the proposed law, they're capped. There's a process to get it into our law, or get it into our courts that goes through our Attorney General that's currently written in there. So there are safeguards in place, but no, Congresswoman Whitehorn, I don't believe this is open to anyone and everyone.
Congressman Whitehorn, are you done up?
No, I just want to make myself clear. I don't think that it should be, so I would, if it wasn't, I would be for putting language in there that localized it to our members of the Osage Nation. And I believe that employees that operate under our policy and procedures and HR department here might be something else that we look at as well, if they're not Osage.
Congressman Keene?
Yeah, just to clarify, I don't want to be known as an anti-FMLA Congress member. So I want to say that a tribe can enact their own FMLA policy. What I'm saying is that you wouldn't have a remedy, generally speaking, on a violation if there was no tribal code, because, again, tribes could hide under the, I don't even know if hide's the right word, but they could claim sovereign immunity. So, again, this is a very complex issue, but it definitely needs to be addressed in the future. Thank you.
Speaker Shaw.
Thank you, Chair. So, Congressman Pachi mentioned that this is the third try to get this type of legislation through. Can you explain to me what the opposition has been before? What were the barriers before, and what has changed that would compel you to go ahead and file this piece of legislation?
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Originally, I don't know that there was a cap, so it would have exposed the nation to much more potential liability. We've come down significantly on that, I believe, as one of the initial. I think it was the second or third time for this bill. I don't recall. One, there was no real opposition. We kind of committed to it, agreed that it should be addressed in an interim study, and then we never did the interim study. I believe it's been passed once before by this body and has been vetoed, but I don't think I carried that. There's a long history of this bill. I don't know that negates the need for it. I think one of the initial objections was the barrier to entry to our courts. We didn't want everybody running up to our courts. Which always seemed odd to me, because if we're doing so great, we wouldn't have many people running up to our court system. But that was an objection, is that, you know, if we pass this law, everybody's just going to run up to our courts and file a claim. And so we've put in some, I won't say barriers, but I'll say thresholds that individuals would need to cross to gain jurisdiction, but they're obtainable thresholds. But it's still going to have to show some commitment and actual harm. So that's been a point of conflict in the past.
Sure. Congressman King.
Yeah. So another barrier is that with past language, there was kind of an AG gatekeeper vetting process before, where you could see where the problem would be, where the AG would just say, "We don't think this warrants further action." The way to remedy that, like Congressman Pott said, we just give anyone direct standing in court. They would bypass that. So that's the debate we need to have, where you make the claim, you're able to go into our courts. I mean, Does that open the floodgates? Maybe. Like I said, again, I look forward to the debate, but that was a big reason why, I guess that was kind of a, I don't even know if ambiguous is the right word, but there was a lot of debate about how some kind of vetting process involved with this legislation, if that makes sense. So, yeah, that was one hang up in the past. Thank you.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
And this is a question just because I don't know. So on tort claims, do most companies or organizations have insurance policies that help them cover the cost of tort claims? Should they be won in a court of law? Does insurance cover those, or is it something that would have to come out of the nation's treasury?
Anyone answer that? Congressman King.
I think, again, because the sovereign immunity with the tribe is so all-encompassing and broad, this is, yeah, it's just different. And does that make sense in a way?
Mr. Chair.
Congressman Potts.
I believe there is some forms of tort insurance. It's really just like a liability shield. It's not necessarily labeled as tort insurance. Where we've shifted from that is, instead of just carrying a massive liability shield for the nation, we've decreased or instituted a cap in this law so that it would never be a burdensome settlement or judgment against the nation. It's capped. I'm sure we could buy a liability policy for that is reasonable if we needed that, but it also, it's capped for that purpose, and our courts still carry that burden of sovereign immunity. It's still something that we would have to allow ourselves to be taken into court. So there are still those barriers that would, we don't need to go that far, is what I'm trying to say, Congresswoman Whitehorn. I don't know that we would need to extend ourselves to get a liability shield.
Congressman Whitehorn, go ahead.
But the jurisdiction is limited to our Osage Nation courts, correct, in this law? Okay.
Correct, yes.
I thought that it was.
Okay, so this isn't my legal specialization, but it's my understanding. So anytime insurance is involved, that's just a normal process. A tort is never involved with insurance. Does that make sense? So the tort is outside the realm of, so like say something happens, the insurance declines or something. Well, then you turn your claim into that, then you claim it into it, turn into a tort. Yeah. Yeah. That's my understanding of how that works. So thank you.
Speaker Shaw.
So specifically, the interim studies that were referenced, what would the study consist of? Is it something that would be useful? Do we need to consider it again?
Mr. Chair.
Congressman Potts.
So interim studies are often used to bring in experts in that field. We certainly consult with attorneys. We can sit down with the Attorney General, sit down with some of the other individuals that would be involved in the execution of this. So an interim study is more just fact-finding in this case to put people at ease, because this is a big step for the nation. It's a very big step. But it's one that I'm committed to, and one that I firmly believe that our people need to have a right to be able to exercise. There have been instances in the past, and this is exactly one of the things that caused this. We had an individual that was harmed by the nation, were harmed in one of our facilities by some equipment that we maintained and had no remedy in our court system. And we dismissed any claim that they had for medical expenses because of sovereign immunity. That's not taking care of our people. And so the tort claims bill, in my mind, arose from that need of, we at least need to provide an avenue. That's not saying it's going to be, you know, a paved freeway that is well lit and, you know, washes your tires while you're driving down that path. But our citizens need a path to be able to challenge the authority here and say, you know, look, maybe we got something wrong here. And that's the path for the tort claims bill. That's why it's here. That's not something that's adopted by all members of Congress. I can say that too. Because sovereign immunity is a veil that some may not want to pierce. Again, I go back to, if we're going to hide behind the shield of sovereign immunity and use it to prevent ourselves from being forced to take care of the people when we offer services to take care of them, that's not right.
Speaker Shaw.
Thank you. So has the Attorney General's office or executive been involved or looked at or had input in this legislation?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
From previous versions, yes. So in this filing, no. But their concerns, I believe, from the chief and the AG have been incorporated into this in the past. Now, those may have changed in the last year and a half of experience since serving in those positions, and we're certainly open to those suggestions. But no, they have not been consulted on this bill specifically at this time.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So I'm real interested in here maybe a study of this legislation coming to fruition. I think it's necessary that we would enact that. I know some people would be opposed to it, but at least we need to research it to see what we can do to get some type of enactment. I like that you put the limitations. I was talking to the Assistant Attorney General yesterday in another committee meeting, and she made those suggestions to me, and something I was wanting to do to a bill to put limits on damages if you were going to put them in there to make them limited, because you are waiving your sovereign immunity when you grant somebody to be able to go to court for damages. So I think it's something that we should as a Congress look at a study and see how we can implement this into our law, because I think that when our citizens are here and something happens that they need a remedy and we're liable as a nation, that we should have some outlet for them to go to our courts. That's why we have them. And I support it, to looking into it.
Mr. Chair, if there are no other questions, I'd like to make a motion to postpone ONCA 2573 to the call of the chair.
Got a motion made. We have a second. Discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes. ONCA 2573 is postponed to the call of the chair. Next is ONCA 2574, an act to require a waiver of sovereign immunity of the Osage Nation on a limited basis for lawsuits to be filed by the Osage Nation in other jurisdictions and to establish an alternate effective date. Congressman Potts, you're the sponsor. You have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. ONCA 2574, act to require a waiver of sovereign immunity in order for cases to be filed. So it's a little bit of a change because I don't believe we've ever experienced this. So what typically happens is our Constitution requires us to waive sovereign immunity in any instance, but specifically if we're going to react or consent to being sued in a different jurisdiction, we have to waive our sovereign immunity. What our law and what our Constitution does not contemplate is that we go file these lawsuits. And so what's happened in this case and what the cause of this legislation is. As many of you may know, we decided to sue the U.S. Department of Interior. I can't remember the time frame. I may have that in the bill. But many are aware, we've decided to sue the Department of Interior. That was not a decision that this body made. And so what this bill would do is require that if our chief intends to file a lawsuit in a foreign jurisdiction, they have to come to Congress in order to receive a waiver of sovereign immunity in order to submit ourselves to that jurisdiction of a foreign court. So it's essentially, if we are going to file, we need to be the ones to approve that and be on board with it. What this will prevent is reading about a lawsuit with the federal government in a newspaper, which is how many of us were introduced to our lawsuit with the Department of Interior. I think that's unacceptable. That's not in the spirit of unity that many of us have talked about. We're not united in that front. And at the very least, we need to be able to vote on submitting ourselves to foreign jurisdictions and their courts. In this case specifically that I'm referencing, I think there was a letter from then Speaker Goodfox, I believe, that said, you know, is there any communication with the Bureau of Indian Affairs? And we were told, no, there's nothing in writing or something to that effect. Well, like a month later, we ended up filing a federal lawsuit. Well, that doesn't just come about within that month, that we're told that there's no documentation to our speaker, and then we end up with a federal lawsuit. And I think that this bill would have at least given us a heads up to where we've been asked, we've been consulted with, and we know before we commit. I don't know, Congressman Keene, you might be able to answer a little bit better. What do you think the fiscal estimate on a lawsuit with the American federal government is going to cost us? I'm sorry? Millions of dollars. I think that this Congress should have at least voted on a waiver of sovereign immunity to say, yeah, we're committed to that fight, because I think it could save millions of dollars as we go forward. So with that, I can yield to any questions. Happy to entertain them on ONCA 2574. Thanks.
Any questions for the sponsor? Speaker Shaw.
Thank you. So again, my question is, have you discussed this with the Attorney General's office or executive? Any other input? Not that I'm opposed to it, but that would be important to me.
Mr. Chair. This is going to be a little one of those games of turnabout is fair play. No, I didn't talk to them first. Neither did they talk to us before they filed a lawsuit that prompted this, that's going to cost millions of dollars.
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I have a couple of questions. So, Congressman Potts, do you expect this to get out of session and get a signature from the chief? Would you think that he would sign this legislation, I guess?
Mr. Chair? No, I don't think the chief will willingly sign this legislation. I think it's going to need a legislative override. Happy to try to advance it through. We can extend session by a day at this point if we pass this out today and fast track tomorrow. That's something that I would be willing to do. But no, I don't think that this is going to garner a signature from our chief.
Can I continue, Chairman?
Yes, please.
Well, I support, I haven't read it in total. I've glanced through it, but I support this because constitutionally, Congress is the only body that can waive the sovereign immunity of the nation. And to me, if you're filing a lawsuit in another court of competent jurisdiction outside of our tribal courts, you've waived our sovereign immunity. Whether you're the defendant, the plaintiff, I don't know what happens in cases of being a defendant, if we need to take a more in-depth look at that. But also, things I've even heard colleagues say here is that, you know, that it's the nation's that this lawsuit that we're talking, that's in this the findings of this act, that's the nation's position. Well, I don't believe that's the nation's position, because I believe that Osage Nation Congress sets the nation's positions as 12 members, that we have the authority to waive our sovereign immunity to enter into a lawsuit. And if that waiver doesn't pass, then it's not the nation's position. So when people say, well, the nation's in a lawsuit, well, yeah, we're in a lawsuit, but I don't think any one of us sitting here on these seats had anything to do with that decision-making process. So I don't know how the nation can be involved in a lawsuit when the elected representatives weren't involved in it. So I very much do support this legislation. I know it's probably going to take a veto override. I believe we have constitutional legs to stand on this piece of legislation. I just would like it if more of the body weighed in to know if we have that ability to do that. I would hate for this to get shot down its first time around and then have to recover from that as one member of Congress speaking to the sponsor.
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate your concern, Congresswoman Whitehorn, but many of my bills rise from the ashes to later become law. So I don't know that this is a concern that I share, and it's a conviction that I have. It's not just a bill that I'm presenting. I think what's important to recall in this bill, it doesn't undo the action. So what's done is done. This would not impact our current court case. But it would, we learn from those mistakes, right? We've never been in a situation where this government, under the direction of just one individual in our executive branch, decided to submit us to a foreign jurisdiction. That just happened. So this bill fixes that problem moving forward. So for some who may say, you know, I really support that lawsuit, that's okay. You can. This bill does not undo that. All it does is say, moving forward, if we're going to submit ourselves to a different jurisdiction, then I need to go to Congress to be able to get everybody on the same page so that we all move forward united.
Any other discussion? Speaker Shaw.
Thank you, Chair. So I think that this needs to be heard on the floor. I think all 12 members need to have the ability to weigh in and vote. So I'd be happy to move it out, but my move would be no recommendation.
Yeah, I think I would probably like to have it stay here just for more conversation. I'm having to wrap my mind around, I mean, I know that we get waiver of sovereign immunity resolutions, and this conversation has been prevalent the last couple of days for sure. I'm just having a hard time reconciling with the idea that we can force by law our chief to come down here to ask for a waiver of sovereign immunity all the time. I don't think that is something we can do.
Mr. Chair.
Congressman Potts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I can address that, it's not something we would say by law, that's the Constitution. The waiver of sovereign immunity is an explicit right of this body in our Constitution. That's the requirement and the threshold. And so where we never foresaw this coming is that we would be in an adversarial position against a foreign court, that we would willingly object or willingly submit ourselves to that jurisdiction thereof without a waiver of sovereign immunity. It's our founding fathers and our constitutions were apprised enough to say, if we're ever going to be in a foreign court, the Congress must agree. They never foresaw that we would be the ones submitting to the foreign court, because that never happened. And so it's just this instance that it has happened to where I'm now reacting to it to say, wait a minute, our founders and our constitution contemplate and gave us the only right to waive sovereign immunity. They did not give that power to the chief. They did not expressly give that power to the chief in the event of a lawsuit. They gave it to this body, and that's the only place that can waive our sovereign immunity. And so all this bill does is says, if we are going to sue and submit ourselves to a foreign court, this body has that exercise that's given to them in the Constitution.
Speaker Shaw.
We do have the benefit of having an attorney in the room with us here, so I'm just curious, as an attorney and a congressperson, what your thoughts are.
I think it's going to be challenged, but again, it's kind of in that muddled area. I support this, actually. I'd like to see it move forward. Like I said, there's an express right of us to always waive sovereign immunity. I get the expediency of lawsuits by the executive branch, and if we need a high court to decide if this is constitutional, then that's what the courts are there for. So I'm for pushing this out. Thank you.
Any more discussion? If not, Chair would entertain movement on this bill. Speaker Shaw.
Motion to report ONCA 2574 to Congress with no recommendation.
Second.
We got a motion made, and we got a second by Congressman Keene. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say yes.
Yes.
Motion passes. 2574 is moved on to the floor of Congress with no recommendation. Next item on the agenda is adjournment. Motion made, seconded. All in favor say yes.
Yes.
We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.